With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Drives one to left field. Back goes Stewart. He is going to watch this one go. Jose Altuve, home run number 17. Astros have a half dozen. It's 6-0.
Back in the swing of things.
10th home run in the month of June for Altuve as he drives one out to left.
Okay, Seth, do you like that better as bump-in music? For those who don't know, I bumped into the show at 6 a.m. this morning playing the Altuve home run and the song Celebration by Kool & the Gang. And Seth thought that was a little too cliche, maybe, or a little too disco-y. And Seth suggested it's Raining Men as the bump-in when the Astros sweep an opponent.
Yeah.
Do you like this better, Seth?
I think whenever there's a deluge of runs, that should be.
We should play
it's raining runs.
It's Raining Men. Crank it up, Ben. All right. 13 runs last night. It's Raining Men, baby. 13-0 over the Orioles.
You know, in baseball, when you hit a home run, it's called Raining Men. You know, just like
now.
When baseball, a pitcher who paints the corners is called a Rembrandt, according to that commercial that lied to everybody.
Right.
In baseball, when somebody hits a whole bunch of home runs, they say that it's Raining Men.
Raining Men, and they call
nobody rains men better than the Astros.
Right. And it's called who sings this? It sounds like Patti LaBelle, but it's not. I know.
The Weather Girls.
They call it a Weather Girl.
Yeah.
Patti LaBelle, yeah. So the Astros win last night. It's a 10-game winning streak now, but Jose Altuve, who, by the way, hit another home run last night, that's 10 for him now in the month of June. He says, we're not thinking about winning streaks.
We try to just, like I said, stay focused. We're not counting how many games we're winning. It's just every win we win, every game we win is very important. It doesn't matter what we do yesterday. We just focus on one game at a time. And obviously, this is a pretty good thing. We're showing that we can win some games, and you know. But the key for us is stay focused and think one game at a time.
Have you ever picked up on the way Altuve says focus?
No, not until you recoiled right now.
Altuve wants us to.
He says he has a kind of a dump-worthy version of a radio dump.
Altuve wants to focus.
He wants to focus, that's all.
Of course Altuve wants to focus. He's a great guy. He's an awesome guy.
He's doing a great job of focusing, as is the rest of the team. Seth, 19-4 since that Tatis home run in the bottom of the ninth game. 19-4, 10 wins in a row. And let me give you some historical context. And because the other two teams in town, one is picking second in the draft and the other is expected to pick in the top five in the draft next year, the Rockets and the Texans, we must bask in success when we get it, people. It is a rule of the enjoyment of sports. Rule number one in the book of Payne and Pendergast: we shall bask when it is worthy of basking. And
that's
we will
right.
Bask in this. 10-0 in the last 10 games, a run differential of 60. They have outscored their opponents on average 8-2 in these games. The average score of an Astros game over the last week and a half is Astros 8, sorry ass opponent 2. The hit differential is 62 in the last 10 games. They are out hitting opponents by an average of 6 hits per game over the last 10 games. Seth, that is historic. And how historic is it? I'm glad you asked. 1922 Pirates, 1939 Yankees, 1979 Angels, the only other teams in the live ball era with plus 60 or greater run and hit differentials in a 10-game winning streak. Bam.
So it's been all of that to tell you it's been exactly how it has felt. It's felt like the Astros in a lot of ways can do no wrong.
The only thing that, you know, like Sean, as we talked about yesterday, the only thing that feels weird sometimes is that because they get so many guys on base, that they leave a lot of guys on base. To the point where you're almost, you find yourself complaining and bitching about it as the Astros are up by 6 runs. Like, come on. Can you hit a grand slam, please?
Yes.
Oh, don't, for Pete's sake.
I'm glad.
For Pete's sake.
I mean, gee willikers, guys. Consarn it. I'm glad you brought that up. You and I talked about that yesterday because last night's game was a good test for that. Amy and I were out watching the game last night at a local establishment, and we're watching, and late in the game, they're up 10-0, 11-0, whatever it was, and there was a couple innings in the last 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, somewhere in there. They left two guys on in one inning. They left the bases loaded one inning, and I'm going, okay. This is what Seth and I talked about earlier today. I can't get worked. Now, it's hard to get worked up when they're beating a team 11-0. If it were 2-1 and they did it, then I'd be much more worked up. But yes, yeah, we must remember, people, when they're leaving all these guys on base, especially during a run like this, they leave a lot on base because they put a lot on base. We spend a lot of money because we make a lot of money. Remember when the NBA player said that during the lockout that year?
Yeah, was it Magic Johnson?
I think it was Patrick Ewing. If I'm not mistaken.
Was it Patrick Ewing? Yeah. Okay. It was, yeah, whoever it was that said it.
Although that does sound like something Magic would tweet.
He said, we need a lot of money because we spend a lot of money.
Yeah,
it was something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. It does sound like something Magic Johnson would say.
and think of it as a positive. Like,
I feel like, okay, but those are separate things, though, too. Yeah. That's
Astros off. Look on your face right now, like you're look, your mind looks,
I mean,
like
that,
it's
that was a dumb thing
a
Patrick Ewing had said. Are you saying that what I just said was as dumb as what Patrick Ewing said?
No, that's not what I'm implying.
Oh, okay.
One bit. No. Run differential right now. The Astros, plus 135. Care to take a stab at who the next closest team is? Giants, plus 101. So the Astros, plus 135, and then the next closest team is 34 runs behind them in run differential right now.
Goodness gracious.
They're a boat racing baseball.
And you know, it's funny. I'm looking at some of the spin rates of various players, some various pitchers in baseball. Since June 3rd is when baseball announced that they were going to be cracking down on the sticky stuff. And, you know, Trevor Bauer's spin rate has gone down quite a bit since the month of June began. Dylan Bundy's spin rate has gone down a lot. I haven't seen the stats on all of the pitchers or amongst all of baseball, but the fact that pitchers have stopped using all of the stuff that they were using before, that it made pitchers be able to do unreal stuff with the baseball. Remember, the Astros were already the best offense in baseball. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, you're taking away one of the most powerful tools that pitchers have ever had in the sport. And I don't think it's a coincidence that over the last couple of weeks, the Astros have just started absolutely demolishing it. Sean, it's like, you know what it is? It's like they were playing level 10 of a video game and they've mastered level 10. And then you go back to level 7,
yeah,
and it's like boring. Because you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to get through level 7, I'm going to get through level 8. Is there a shortcut here or something?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the way video games still work. I'm thinking back to my old Mario days or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think
is that the way video games still work? It's been a while.
7-1, you asking me? 713-572-4610.
Kids, you used to have to go through every damn level every time you played the game. It was maddening.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So, but you threw this out there when the sticky stuff crackdown became a thing a week and a half ago. You threw that out there at the time when the Astros they were leading the league in OPS, leading the league in batting average, and you're like, man, Seth, you threw it out there as a hypothesis that they could start doing exactly what it is they're doing over these 10 games, which is completely destroying good teams, completely destroying bad teams. They've got 4 more games coming up this weekend against another bad team that, by the way, swept them earlier this year when they were kind of a wounded dog, when they had all those guys in COVID protocols and whatnot. So they get a little revenge on the Tigers and A.J. Hinch this weekend. Oh, and then they chase that with what? 3 more games against the sorry-ass Orioles they just beat up the last 3 days.
On June 10th, Sean, which, God, it feels like forever ago, but, you know, 14 days ago,
yeah,
and I can't remember who the Astros were playing at that time, but I said, when you were the best-hitting team in the Spider-Tac era, the post-Spider-Tac era is very promising indeed.
Okay.
And I think that's what's happening. Another thing that happened with the Astros this year, that I don't. They probably don't want to highlight because it sounds too much like hijinks, but it's completely legitimate and above board. Last year, during the regular season, when the Astros were struggling at the plate so much, one of the things that they did not have available to them was the iPad video review in the dugout, where they can review their swings and see what's going on and then make adjustments of it. They were not allowed, teams weren't allowed to do that last year. It was actually one of the COVID precautions. It didn't have anything to do with the Astros cheating, I don't believe. But they didn't have that. And the Astros, both with pitching and hitting, do more and better stuff with legitimate legal video review type stuff, analyzing their own swings. And I think it affected them. Whereas this year they have it back, and it's like one more thing where, okay, they've seen what it was like with spider tack, and now everything is slowed down. They had to hit without their video review, their in-game video review, and now they have it back. And all of these little advantages they have really stacked up.
Okay, see, when did you tweet what you just read, Seth, on the 10th of June? So 2 weeks ago today. So you tweeted that. Read it one more time. You got it in front of you?
Yeah, I said, when you were the best hitting team in the Spider Tack era, the post-Spider Tack era is very promising indeed.
Okay, that was the morning. You tweeted that out. Well, I don't know when you tweeted it out, like if it was during the day.
I tweeted it out during the game on June 10th.
Okay, June 10th. That was the game they lost 12-8 to the Red Sox, where the bullpen totally imploded and they lost.
That's right, because I tweeted that out earlier in the game.
Yeah, it was an afternoon game. So since that game, the Astros' record is 11-1. 11-1, and I'm just going to do the quick math here. 11-1, and they've outscored the opposition 89-30.
89-30 since June 10th?
11-1, and they've outscored the opposition 89-30 since Seth Payne tweeted that out.
God, you know, the Astros might ruin
baseball. You're so smart, dude.
They might. I know. It's more of a burden than a blessing, I'll tell you.
Right, right.
But, no, Sean, I'm serious. The Astros might ruin baseball. There's so many fan bases that are so irate with the Astros to begin with, and now they're doing it in such a manner, in such a way that's even more dominating than they were in 2017. That they might genuinely just make fans and other, like, especially in LA and New York, just absolutely despise baseball itself.
As the
Dodgers become less and less impressive as the season wears on.
Yeah, the who? I don't know. I've never heard of them.
And the Yankees and the huh?
Yeah. What? I don't know. We just play who's in front of us. That's all I know. That's what Jose Altuve just told us 8 minutes ago. All right. John Lopez actually threw this out there 4 months ago, and now it might be coming to fruition. Does Deshaun Watson now have a silver bullet from the NFL? That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good to be with you on a Thursday, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. All right, so this was reported by Tom Pelissero yesterday. NFL players have until 4 p.m. Eastern time next Friday, July 2nd, to inform their team if they are opting out of the 2021 season.
Per source.
So the COVID opt-out is still an option for players. Higher-risk players for COVID, again, are entitled to a $350,000 stipend. So you don't get your full salary, but you do get a stipend to pay, you know, pay whatever $350K can get you as an NFL player, and your contract tolls and basically just pushes forward for another year. Voluntary opt-outs get nothing. Last year, their stipend was $150,000. So that's an important distinction here. So you don't get, you get $0 for a voluntary opt-out, but you, I guess you don't lose your job.
Well, I guess it's all voluntary, just, but if you're doing it just with none of those other underlying factors.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Pelissero goes on to say, only players who executed their contracts prior to October 1st, 2020 are eligible to take a voluntary opt-out, so rookies are not eligible. If a higher-risk rookie opts out, the club still owns his rights. All opt-out decisions are final. The NFL and NFLPA also agreed to more benefits for fully vaccinated players. Okay, so here's where this could matter to the Texans, and I will credit John Lopez for putting this out here in an article before all the lawsuits started flying. I think it was 4 months ago John Lopez brought this up as a possibility. And now, obviously, the lawsuits add a different wrinkle to everything here, but let's hash this out here, Seth, because Lopez just retweeted his article. Is this an option for Deshaun Watson? Is opting out an option for Deshaun Watson where he could avoid paying fines, giving back salary, giving back $5.6 million in signing bonus? Could Deshaun Watson all of a sudden become fearful of COVID in 2021?
Could he?
Someone who didn't wear a mask at his Lefty's cheesesteak opening all of a sudden is fearful of a nearly fully vaccinated nation.
This would be a fun one. The press conference for this would be a fun one where he tried to – this would be like Garrett Cole, you know, trying to deny that he ever used spider tech. If Deshaun Watson were to claim that it was COVID that was making him want to opt out for the season, I think it's possible. I guess you'd have to look at the downside for him contractually would be that it pushes his free agency off one more year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, conceivably, that 1 year of free agency, by that time, quarterbacks are probably making $50 million a year. So, I mean, like, if you talk about, if you want to keep your bird in the hand, which is you don't get fined for this year, which would be about $3 million during training camp, and then you're going to lose all your salary and get fined during the regular season, then you could decide to opt out. But then on the back end, that next contract that you're going to get, that's one less year. You know, it's one more year you're going to have to wait until you get to that. Now, he and his people might say, well, you know, wherever we go, we're going to end up, you know, renegotiating at some point anyway. So, yeah, I guess it's a possibility. But I think it's probably one that you don't see him use until they figure out what is the NFL going to do.
Totally.
If I were Deshaun, I would wait and see if they put me on the commissioner's exempt list first. Well, I'm not gonna waste the opportunity to get paid and sit at home while I get paid my salary and my contract continues to progress along.
Seth, I'll point out again, though, he's got to decide by next Friday whether he's opting out.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
He
can't wait, and then they do something. He goes, well, guess what? I'm opting out.
Yeah, I don't think he is. I think, honestly, the more I think about it, even though John McClain acted like it was the dumbest thing he'd ever heard when I first brought this up, but then Mike Florio talked about it, and now it's an okay idea in John's mind.
Right.
The move for Deshaun is to just show up. I mean, yeah. That's – and his agent has set it up that way. You know, the only thing his agent has really said publicly about this was the one time he shot down the report by that New York reporter that Deshaun planned on missing minicamp.
Dan Cilio was his name.
Yeah. So I think that's the move. And then you force the Texans' hand. You force the league's hand. And don't – you know, when I say it that way, I can almost – I picture myself as a listener hearing that, and it sounds like Seth Payne is – advocating that or like gung-ho about it. No, I think that sucks. It sucks for everybody. Everything about this whole situation sucks right now.
Yeah.
It's not like if Deshaun does that, I'm going to say, you go, Deshaun. I'm going to say, all right, great. Just really twisting the knife here, aren't you, Deshaun?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, buddy.
I do wonder, and again, we're talking about Tom Pelissero reporting yesterday, players have until 4 p.m. next Friday, July 2nd, to inform their team if they're opting out of the 2021 season. Again, higher-risk players who I would imagine, you know, it's sort of like the version of a doctor's note. If you got a doctor's note that you're high risk, then you get $350,000 as your stipend.
Yeah.
If it's a voluntary opt-out, if you're just fearful of COVID still for some reason, the league is, you're not getting paid anything this year.
You know what, though, Sean? I'm going to tell you, this is how I got off on a technicality and got my COVID vaccine a little bit earlier. The thing I complained about for 40 years,
yeah.
Which is like, okay, wait a second. You're telling me I have to weigh 215 pounds until I'm not considered obese? Like, can you imagine me at 215 pounds, Sean?
I'd be worried something's wrong with you.
My poor sister is even worse because she's 6 foot tall and she's athletically built, but she's like super fit, but
yeah.
Obese, you know, because of the BMI.
Right.
So I complained about the BMI for years and years and years until COVID came around. I'm like, yeah, BMI. I'm obese. So let's see. Deshaun is 6'3". How much does he weigh these days? He's probably about 225.
See, look, I mean, if that workout video is any indication of him, how he looks recently, he's in great shape.
If he needed to bulk up a little bit, let's see. He would be 28. If he weighs 225, you could say he's about a 28.1 BMI,
yeah.
Which is overweight. He just needs to bulk up a little bit to get to obese.
That is the one thing I say when I watch him elude people in the open field. When I watch him get to the edge and get
yeah.
in, you know, an upfield and run, I go, man, for a fat guy, he is really fast.
You're so obese, Deshaun.
Right.
You're so disgustingly fat. Well, you know who's obese as hell is Cam Newton. Cam Newton, totally obese,
oh, yeah.
according to the BMI.
Total fatty.
Let's see if he can get up to, if Deshaun just needs to bulk up to 239, which actually seems like a lot on his frame.
And I would think he's a little fat if he got to
239.
In all honesty.
I know. He might actually.
If I found out Deshaun was 239,
that might
be
a little James Harden-ish.
Right. I'd be like, he's depression eating right now.
Yeah, yeah. Mario Williams is morbidly obese. Remember Genevieve Clowney? Those guys are incredibly obese,
yeah.
Yeah, according to the BMI.
They're absolutely gross.
So Deshaun would actually, though, on his frame, he'd have to get up to, like, I think about 240.
Okay.
And on his frame, he might actually look a little bit overweight. So by those workout videos that we've been seeing,
yeah.
I don't think he's technically obese enough to claim COVID
okay.
at risk. Yeah.
There you go. Seth's not a doctor or anything, but he is the the COVID commissioner emeritus of Harris County.
Travis Kelce, obese AF.
Oh,
yeah, all
the
these
worst.
Guys. There's nobody more obese than J.J. Watt.
He's disgusting.
he's
gross.
It's hard to look
he's
at
sweating
sometimes.
Sweating Crisco.
Have some pride,
classic
man.
Classic Wisconsin guy up there, yeah. Yeah, that's well, yeah, so are you fatty.
Yeah, when he said that you looked gigantic, yeah. You should have whipped out the BMI calculator.
I should have.
Well, according to my BMI calculator, it's 6'5", 295 pounds.
Right.
You are. Let's just mm-hmm. check this. Oh, yeah. You're 5 points over obese.
Right. I should have hit him with, I know you are, but what am I? So Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. So, yes, so the players have an option now. They have till Friday, July 2nd to opt out of the season. Boy, it seemed like every team had at least one or two guys. The Patriots had 8 guys that opted out last year.
I forgot about that.
I expect there to be very few of these, Seth.
I would imagine. I don't know what Cole Beasley's up to or what he's thinking. Cole Beasley's furious about all this.
He is. About getting vaccinated, yes.
So I don't know if Cole Beasley would be so furious that he opts out.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley needs to just be quiet and just be sure Stephon Diggs is happy.
Exactly.
All right, Cole Beasley. All right. Okay. You're
good advice.
Yes, I like the way you play and everything, but just be sure Stephon Diggs is cool with everything.
Good advice. Good advice. All right. I did something yesterday that I haven't done in 9 years, and sometime soon, I promise that you, the Houston sports fan, will be doing this as well. It's next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Nice to be with you on a Thursday. So the Rockets have the second overall pick in the NBA draft, and Raphael Stone met with the media following the lottery the other night. They landed the second pick in the draft, and he was asked about, okay, you've got the second pick, you've got the 23rd and the 24th pick as well. What are the chances that you use all these picks?
We just know that we're going to compile as talented a roster as we can. And, one of the very best ways to add talent in the NBA is through the draft. And so, I do think it's very likely we'll at least have one draft pick, most probably more, and also add some guys from free agency. And I think all of it will make us better. That certainly is the hope.
All right. So, and when I say he's going to use those draft picks, there's probably people going, yeah, well, duh, you have them, use them, smoke them if you got them. What I mean is use them as opposed to trading them, trading down, right, trading for veteran players, trading for maybe an available star player, something like that. It feels like, Seth, and just looking at Raphael Stone's body language or facial language in that clip, because it was from the Zoom call, when he said that part where he's like, chances are we're going to use probably one of them, probably more, he kind of had a little smirk on his face, a little smile on his face, where the sense I get is that I don't think that they're viewing this second overall pick as some sort of ticket to a fast rebuild. This feels like a much more conventional rebuild where they're taking inventory of their team. They're looking at, okay, we got Christian Wood for a couple more years. We got to see what he is. We've got Kevin Porter Jr. We got him for nothing, and now it looks like he could be a player. Maybe what is Kenyon Martin Jr., KJ Martin? What is Jayshon Tate, made the all-rookie team? Like, they look at those four guys and, okay, there's something here with those four guys. John Wall and Eric Gordon are viewed as financial boat anchors right now. And I think the second overall pick has got to be viewed by them as, this is our chance to get a foundational future star that we're not having to pay a max deal for the next 4 or 5 years.
Right, right. And I think, too, it's funny. I was thinking the same thing when I don't want to call it a smirk, but whatever, that little smile where I think it was almost a little bit just, it tells a story of just how many things have to happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, it's awesome if there's number two overall pick. But I'm just, honestly, Sean, I'm looking back over the 76ers' first-round picks going back to 2013.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been since 2013 now where kind of everything was started, where Michael Carter-Williams got off to a promising enough start.
He was a rookie of the year. He was a rookie of the year.
He was gone within a few years. And then Joel Embiid was 2014.
2014 was Joel Embiid.
I mean, I know, but Sean, I feel like it was 3 years ago. Right. I mean, he's Joel Embiid's like an old guy in the league now.
Okay,
it's crazy.
I'm not looking. Let me see if I can play the process game with you here with the Sixers. By the way, the thing I did yesterday, that just the tease that I haven't done in 9 years, I clicked on a mock draft for the NBA. Why would I have clicked on a mock draft for the NBA the last 9 years? I clicked on it yesterday. It was fun.
It was.
Got three picks.
And that's where, I don't know, in some respects, it's kind of nice that this year's draft class has a whole bunch of guys that look like the top four should be really good NBA players, but none of them is the one that's going to make all of a sudden – you know, say, okay, you guys should be in the championships next year, just like when the Cavs drafted LeBron James, you know?
And just to give you an idea of, you brought up Joel Embiid, and really the process with the Sixers began with that draft, because if I'm not mistaken, Michael Carter-Williams was more of a mid-round pick. But if I remember correctly, I don't have this in front of me, but I want to say it was Embiid 2014,
yep.
Jahlil Okafor 2015.
Number three overall.
Yep. 2016 was Ben Simmons, number one overall.
Number one overall. He can dunk sometimes.
Sometimes, when he chooses to. And then, if I'm not mistaken, 2017 was Markelle Fultz, right?
Markelle Fultz, that's
so,
right. Yeah.
So,
number one overall.
Number one overall. So you're talking about, and I think Embiid was three overall as well. So I think Embiid, because that was Jabari Parker, I think, was in that draft. So Embiid, so the process took 4 years of losing to the extent that you're drafting in the top three. Four years, and here's where the Sixers are right now. They have a good basketball team. They were the one seed in the East. But two of those four are washouts. Fultz is somewhere. I think Fultz is in Orlando now. I have no idea where Okafor is. Simmons and Embiid are on max deals, and Embiid's an MVP candidate. But Simmons, they want to run out of town right now because his shooting range is like 8 inches. He can't shoot from further than like a foot away from the rim. And so, so you had four picks in the top three. And really, one and a half of them are working out.
Right.
You know what
I mean?
And then where's that gotten you? It got you knocked out in the second round of the playoffs. Like, that's how hard it is to execute the process and have it actually result in something.
So I think that's where a little bit of what Rafael Stone knows all of that, especially with the 76ers. I mean, the Rockets have had, whether it's Sam Hinkie and others, and Daryl Morey,
gone
to the 76ers. They've kind of got a pipeline to the Rockets down here. So Rafael Stone knows exactly, like, even if you're super aggressive about it, like the 76ers were, it's not so simple as just, you know, being bad for a year.
You got to get it right.
Yeah,
you
got to
get the picks right, man. Like, you it's not just getting the picks. It's picking the right guy.
Boy, the 2016 draft for the 76ers was freakishly similar to this year's for the Rockets, because they had the number one overall in Ben Simmons, and then they had a 24th and a 26th pick in
the first round
as well. Timothy Luau-Cabarrot. That's one guy.
Yeah.
And Furkan Korkmaz.
Oh, Korkmaz is on the team right now. So he's actually a decent rotational player for them.
I mean, Ben Simmons, you almost wonder if Ben Simmons is the kind of guy that if with a different set of coaches or in a different environment would have had a different playoff series this year. And he obviously needs to be more of a distributor than a playmaker, but my God.
I'm so glad the Rockets didn't wind up with Ben Simmons in a James Harden trade. Ben Simmons is one of those guys, Seth, that I just don't believe in today's NBA. You can have one of your primary players be somebody who just can't shoot.
We saw that with Russell Westbrook. I mean, if you can't do it with Russell Westbrook,
right?
I don't know how you're going to do it with Ben Simmons. I mean, because Russell Westbrook has the aggressiveness and everything
that
Ben Simmons clearly does not. I mean, Ben Simmons looks like he lost both of his testicles somewhere in a train accident.
Russ at least will shoot the mid-range game with some level of proficiency. Ben Simmons can't, like... He can't and won't shoot, like, outside of 6 feet. He passed up a dunk the other night that might have clinched the playoff series for them. Like, it was...
I mean,
He's not a threat to shoot. Like, at times, at times it's like playing with four guys on the floor. And Seth, that's why he wasn't allowed on the floor at the end of games by Doc Rivers.
That's what used to annoy me so much about Rubio. Rubio was a different temperament than Ben Simmons, but would still just – he'd get so much credit for doing things that he had to do because nobody would guard him.
Right.
Like nobody – teams would just say, well, why would we guard Rubio? He can't shoot, and he's not going to take the shot, so we'll double up somebody else. And then Rubio would get credit for making a brilliant pass through multiple defenders who were just ignoring him.
He would. You're right. I'll credit Rubio. He's at least become a competent shooter, though, in his time in the league.
Right, right.
Like Ben Simmons, I don't think – doesn't even look like he's showing any interest in becoming a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but yeah, clicking on this mock draft, dude. And actually, Seth, in this mock draft, the guy who did this mock draft for The Athletic, not totally convinced that the Detroit Pistons are going to take Cade Cunningham with the first overall pick.
Oh, really?
How do you like that? That adds some intrigue. Could you imagine the first overall pick not being Cade Cunningham and then he's sitting there for the Rockets at number two?
Can you imagine? Yeah. Can I go back to like 72 hours ago when I didn't really have a clue who the favorite was to go in the NBA draft? Sure, yeah. I can imagine what it was like 72 hours ago.
Can you imagine Cade Cunningham being there for the Rockets, baby?
He's not. Cade Cunningham, he's not. I think he's the consensus number one overall talent, but it's not like by a long shot.
Right.
It's not. I think the top four, as we were talking to Adam Spillane yesterday, the top four are kind of lumped together as the consensus top four. And then you got that German character, too. I could get with Cade Cunningham. Yeah, that'd be pretty nice.
Here, one more from Raphael Stone says that they're going to entertain pretty much everything when it comes to ways to make the team better.
The easiest way to make a mistake is to predetermine what you're going to do. I think our approach generally to the draft, free agency, even in-season trades, is to look at everything as it comes up. And so we'll do all the work. We've been working on the draft for, you know, what seems like an extraordinarily long period of time now. And we still have over a month to go. So we'll keep doing all our work. You know, we'll research all the players in the draft, not just one or two, everybody. And we'll try and figure out the best way to move forward.
All right. So that was Raphael Stone. And, you know, they're going to look at every way to use this number two overall pick. Seth, I just think at the end of the day, they're going to use this number two overall pick on one of these players in this draft and just begin a normal rebuild.
Who's your favorite right now? Which one do you want?
I like from my YouTube clips that I've watched of him, because he didn't play college basketball last year. I was watching a lot of Jalen Green yesterday, the kid from the G League. I really, really like it. For me, it's Green or Mobley. Assuming Cade Cunningham's not going to be there, for me, it's Green or Mobley, one of those two. I like Jalen Suggs from Gonzaga. I just don't. I don't like him as much as those other two guys.
Yeah, I like Evan Mobley, and I don't know if it's even as much about Evan Mobley himself compared to Jalen Green or Jalen Suggs or Cunningham, if he's available, as much as just the style and the type of player that you need that's hard to find right now. And you see some teams, when their big guys get run off the court in the playoffs, it's really, really tough to operate. You become a small team by, you know, not by choice, but by necessity. So I like big guys that can move and shoot and put the ball on the floor.
He's all those things. You wonder, is there any redundancy with him and Christian Wood out there? Yeah, I wonder if this number two overall pick maybe is indicative of how they feel about Christian Wood moving forward as well. They take Green. Does that mean they're, you know, they're ready to pay Christian Wood? Who thinks he should get paid?
Sean, this is the golden rule I have in basketball.
Okay.
It's this. Should I worry about having too many guys on the floor who are 6 foot 10 or 11 and can guard everybody and that can also shoot? No. The answer is always no. That's like when sometimes you see in the playoffs in, the Rockets when they're super small. Let's see what you do now. And then the Lakers match them and you realize, oh, they're small ball. It still looks really long and really fast and everything else. Like, they're just, their small ball isn't as small as our small ball.
Yeah.
I feel like Evan Mobley could be that guy. They were, oh, we went small. Yeah, we left our forward out there, the 6 foot 11, Evan Mobley.
I think they're both versatile enough. You get them out on the floor at the same time. Like, I'm really intrigued by it. I know Spillane, that's what he settled on, both on the night when he and I were covering the lottery as well as, the next morning, yesterday morning when you and I had him on. He's still, Evan Mobley is still his guy. So for me, it's Mobley or Green. All right. 713-572-4610. Ben, let's do some headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
All right, let's start with the Astros, and they beat the Baltimore Orioles like a drum last night, 13-0. The offense was great. The defense was great. The pitching was great last night. There was really nothing that wasn't great, and the pitcher was Jose Urquidy, who pitched 7 innings last night. Best way to improve your bullpen if you're Dusty Baker is to just not use it as much, and that's what the starters have allowed him to do. Jose Urquidy, 7 shutout innings. Dusty on Urquidy's performance last night.
He always has control, but he had command. You know, that's what he had tonight. And, you know, he had a good changeup. He had a good slider. He minimized his pitches, you know, which is always big for a starting pitcher, but especially a guy like him that throws strikes, you know, he do some quality strikes, not over the heart of the plate strikes. And, you know, he's getting better and better and better each outing, and hopefully, you know, he can continue to get better.
Jose Urquidy, 84 pitches in 7 innings, super efficient, just 3 hits he gave up Seth. So that's story number one. The other thing, they got Kyle Tucker back. So they are they're an Alex Bregman away from having their full complement of hitters back. Still going to be, Dusty gave an update on Bregman. It still looks like it's going to be a few weeks for Bregman. My guess is after the All-Star break is when we'll start to see him. Maybe he heads down to Sugar Land, does a little rehab assignment, that kind of thing.
You know what I like about Kyle Tucker, Sean?
What do you like about him?
Remember 2 years ago when that story came out? I think, well, I guess it was because Hinch had just flat out said that Kyle Tucker didn't seem to have the same urgency or intensity, one of those types of words, as the rest of the players do, and the veterans, you know, needed to show him, or Kyle Tucker needed to learn from watching these other guys, you know, how to play baseball like an Astros baseball player.
Yeah.
I thought of that last night when he made that play in right field, where he kind of just, like George Springer style, was just sprinting towards the wall. It looked like the sun was probably in his eyes, and he made a really, really nice catch. And I don't, he doesn't have that laid back manner anymore in a good way.
Yeah.
He looks like a professional baseball player.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to see. There's also something about this starting pitching staff now that they've turned so old school in so many ways, which is not what you would have expected when James Click came over, because James Click comes from Tampa, where they use openers, they piggyback pitchers and starters all the time, but by necessity, because the bullpen is so meager, these guys are going 7-8 innings almost regularly now, and as a baseball fan, it feels good. Like, it feels like old school baseball, that you can depend on your guy to go in and pitch 7 innings, then a setup guy comes out, and then a closer. I feel like it's 1983, Sean.
Think of all the things, Seth, that Astros haters were either counting on happening this year, that happened in the COVID year, or that are happening for this team positively out of nowhere, and you're going, oh, crap. They're good again. And think about if you're an Astros hater, you're looking at the COVID, you're saying, huh, Altuve, he's lost it. He's not Altuve anymore. Oh, yeah, either that or he's going to hit 10 home runs in the month of June. Seth, think about some of these guys that are stepping up. Like, if you're an Astros hater, if you're looking at the Astros going, man, they Verlander got Tommy John surgery. They just lost Gerrit Cole in free agency a couple years ago. Greinke's getting old. Yeah, either that or Greinke's going to start the year 8-2. Oh, you probably haven't heard of Luis Garcia. You probably only saw Framber Valdez last year in the COVID year. Probably didn't know Jose Urquidy. You know, probably you didn't count on them signing Jake Odorizzi. And even Seth, the guys, you know, Kyle Tucker, I think, became more of a known commodity last year. But Alex Bregman goes out. He was a runner-up for the MVP 2 years ago. He has been an all-star like every year since he got into the league. And he goes out with this quad injury, and it doesn't matter if they're throwing Rebel Garcia out there for him or Abraham Toro. Whoever it is actually hitting better than Bregman was hitting before he went out with the quad injury. Toro had 4 RBIs last night. He hit a bomb. You know what I mean? Like, they're getting contributions from – they're getting so many contributions right now from outside of just the 6 or 7 guys that would be considered the core nucleus for this team.
You know, when Luno was still here, one of the things that he talked about – in terms of what the Astros were doing to build on all of the things that he brought over from St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, he came in from St. Louis and he kind of revolutionized player evaluation And the Cardinals did a great job with it, and then the Astros did it, and, you know, evaluating prospects. But then he realized that what you needed to focus on now is player development, because a lot of teams are out there seeing the same things in various prospects. So how can we develop players better than other teams? And over the course of time, they standardized everything from single A up through triple A and on into the majors. The hitting coaches were talking about the same thing. The pitching coaches were talking about the same things. They're using the same technology to evaluate swings and pitches and all of that. And I think really in a lot of ways what you're seeing now is the culmination of all of that. And I mean, we've seen good offense for a few years now, but half these guys out there right now, either as pitchers or hitters, have had nothing but like the most technically advanced instruction since the age of 18 years old, you know, or 21 or 22 if they came out of college. And now that baseball's removed spider tech from the equation, I think you might be on the verge of seeing something really historical. Sean, I mean, we talked about it briefly yesterday. What's Altuve on pace for in terms of home runs? 40 plus?
Yes.
He's got 17 right now.
Yeah.
He's never had more than 24 in a season.
Yep.
And now Altuve is not an example of the guys I was just talking about, but everything is just going so well, and they're doing it versus good opponents versus bad opponents. It's just astounding.
Yeah. Yeah, 17. Actually, he had 31 2 years ago, Seth. So in
2019. Oh, that's right.
2019. Yeah, 2019. He had 31.
He had the back-to-back 24 in 2015 and 16?
16 and 17, yep.
17, okay.
16 and 17. He had 24, and then he went down to just 13 in 2018. And then 31 in just 124 games in 2019. That was a year where he started getting some leg injuries. He's got 17 in 63 games this year. So yeah, so he's hitting a bomb about every 3.5 games. So yeah, he's having a hell of a season.
Let's
no
make
doubt
it
about
an even three, Jose.
Yeah. All right. So the Astros, now they head to Detroit. And I, you know what, Seth? A little bit of kind of a minor revenge factor for me in this thing. I thought that sweep at the hands of the Tigers at Minute Maid Park was one of the more embarrassing few days to be a Houston Astros fan. When A.J. Hinch and the Tigers come in and do you for 3 days like that, it's time for us to go up to their yard and do them for 4 days.
That's right. Like you know, though, yeah, remember we were wondering, okay, what does A.J. Hinch know about these guys and how is it being used against them? Now that the Astros maybe figured out what A.J. Hinch knew and how he's using it against them,
yeah.
can they do the old turnabout is fair play game?
I want to go. I'm going back and I'm looking at that series was April 12th, 13th, and 14th. So it was the second week of the season. The Astros started the year 6-1, and then lost two to the A's. So they were 6-3 after the first three series of the year. And so that Detroit series dropped them to 6-6. God, remember how we were feeling when they started the season 7-10? I mean, and I guess that should be maybe the kind of the tempering the excitement, maybe the restrictor plate we put on our exuberance right now if we were to do that. I know it's not fun to do that, but we need to be reminded. There was a point in the season where they lost 9 of 10. Like, that happened 2 months ago.
Well, that happened, but it was also, that was partly fueled by those COVID not suspensions, but the guys being on the COVID list.
I get it. If they stay healthy, they're going to be fine. I'm just saying the baseball gods have a weird way of evening things out over 162-game season.
Well, yeah, that's a very good point, Sean. Although, again, I'll blame Major League Baseball for also making the Astros play through half of their team being on the COVID list.
Fair.
Where other teams had games postponed and delayed. With the Astros, they said, no, you guys go out and play with your triple A roster.
Yep.
Remember, they had to call up half a damn Sugar Land to even get those games played.
I do.
That's why I think McTaggart in his article this morning kind of he selected April 22nd as the date to look forward. Like, since April 22nd, which would have been after the period we're just talking about.
Yep.
Since April 22nd, they won 14 of 18 series.
That's
in
awesome.
That time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. It is.
They're 39 and 18 since April 22nd.
They're awesome, man. I mean, I think there's undoubtedly a really good argument they're the best team in baseball. That's there's no doubt. All right, next headline. NBA playoffs last night. How about the Atlanta Hawks? Boy, you could have gotten the Atlanta Hawks when they were down 3-2 to the Sixers in that No, they were up 3-2. They were tied at 3 when they were going into Game 7 of that series with the Sixers. So they were playing a Game 7 in Philadelphia. You could have gotten the Atlanta Hawks to win the NBA title at 50-1. 50-1 in an NBA playoff where crazy things are happening. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I didn't do it, and now I'm regretting not doing it because the Atlanta Hawks have just as good a chance as anybody of winning the NBA championship. They go into Milwaukee last night, and they beat the Bucks 116-113 in a game that that the Bucks were leading late in that game. Trae Young, man, Trae Young, Seth, is he is the real deal.
He's look at how deeply he was in
points last night.
I mean, look at he completely mind bleeped Ben Simmons. I think it's Trae Young might be one of these guys that we're talking about that becomes some of the driving force behind NBA ratings actually being improved this year. It just goes to show whatever you think you know, you don't know in sports, because it just made sense, right? Wow, you have big stars like LeBron out, Steph Curry is out, all these major teams. Oh, nobody from New York or nobody from LA in the playoffs anymore. How could they actually get good ratings? And it turns out, oh yeah, you know what sports fans like? They like news stories too. They don't like hearing the same old crap every single year. And Trae Young, Clint Capella, like all of these storylines. Ben Simmons sucking in the playoffs. That these are fresh new storylines that are making these NBA playoffs way more interesting than they have been for a while. As opposed to, oh, let's see if LeBron decides to really turn it up this game or not. And then how long will it take until they eventually overpower everybody?
Do you find as well in watching these NBA playoffs, Seth, and I guess you could carry this over to other sports too, just in terms of there not being a crowd there, but the NBA especially, playing in the bubble in Orlando was a totally different product. Even on TV, was a totally different product, and probably as the major sports go, you know, and we're in a town where it's, you know, NBA, MLB, NFL. Those are the three drivers. Of all of them, NBA, the product as you're watching it, was just, the product was a reminder of the pandemic. You know what I mean? Like, just watching an NBA basketball game, there was a shred of depressingness to it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, okay, that's not a real home court. There's nobody watching in the crowd. Even the bench itself, where they're not sitting next to each other on the bench. The benches, they're socially distanced on a bench.
Right.
It was a reminder of the period we were living in at the time.
But the ratings are up over 2019 as well.
Yes.
So that's the whole, like, it's not just that it's, because basketball, I think, has been and is still more affected by COVID than the other ones for all the reasons that you said, Sean, but also just because the timing is still so out of whack.
Yeah.
You know, like for one, the bubble was, it's in the middle of baseball and football season. This doesn't make any sense. Why am I watching championship basketball in September? Yeah. So that felt weird, plus the actual environment in the game. And then you jump right into another season. Star players are injured the whole time. So I know there are other reasons, and there's a whole get woke, go broke theory as well. And is with all of these things, I think there's compound reasons that TV ratings go up and down. But I think the NBA, when they get back into a normal routine and schedule next year, should feel a lot more like normal.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, but you're right. It will have taken them 3 years to smooth out the effect on just the calendar with the NBA, you know?
And plus by then, LeBron James is going to be like 47 years old.
Yes, absolutely. All right. The other news in the NBA playoffs, in addition to Trae Young dropping 48 on the Bucks last night, tonight, game 3, Phoenix Suns, LA Clippers. Phoenix has a nice winning streak going here in the postseason right now. They just swept. They swept Denver in the second round of the playoffs, and now they're in the conference finals. And they won the last two against the Lakers. They swept the Nuggets. They've won the first two against the Clippers. They're on an 8-game winning streak right now, and the last two have been without Chris Paul. Chris Paul should be back tonight out of the health and safety protocols for the Phoenix Suns. And I would say, Seth, right now, or the Phoenix Suns have got to be the odds-on favorite to win the NBA championship. They're up 2-0 on the Clippers, and they're playing really good basketball without the guy who finished fifth in the NBA in the MVP balloting.
without the guy that, like, frankly, like, found figured out another way to miss major time in the playoffs. It's annoying me, Sean. It's really annoying me that Chris Paul is missing this time in the playoffs.
Yeah, but unlike the Rockets, the Suns found a way to win both games.
That's no, the Suns aren't annoying me. Chris Paul is annoying me.
Oh, I got you.
It's like, why you always got to be so difficult, man? Right. Like, what the hell? Yeah. Like, are you serious? You're the Players Association president.
Yeah.
And this is why you're missing time in the play? Like, you might as well be, what's his name from the Rockets last year? Dang it, why am I blanking on his name? With the COVID violation with the woman in his room.
Oh, Daniel House.
Thank you, yeah. Daniel House.
Yeah. Well, that's not the same. Chris Paul's
I know it's not the same, but it's
man.
Kind of the same.
Yeah.
It's a COVID, it's
silly,
COVID malfeasance.
Yeah. It is, yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.